Hey guys, welcome to Unpacking Design. I'm Mike LaValle.
And Tim Ung, and this is a show where we tell you about products and ideas that relate to designers all over the world.
Hey, what's up everybody? Welcome back to Unpacking Design. Tim, this is not going to be a surprise to you. You know what I'm going to be talking about at some point after I reveal it, but I've been reading a lot, and one of the books I've been reading has inspired me to figure out, I don't know what it is yet, but has inspired me to figure out through its process what my next sort of major thing is. Mm-hmm. And the reason I've been looking for sort of, I guess, inspiration a little bit is, and we talked about this in a previous Design Life, that I'm kind of in a almost like a recharge mode. Mm-hmm. Trying to figure out what the next thing is and taking my time and being careful not to get swept up in a bunch of stuff. But I feel like the book that I just finished reading a week or so ago has been, I described it when I showed you it as the book that I needed or was written like for me. Mm-hmm. And the book that I'm talking about is Start Finishing, mm-hmm. by Charlie Gilkey. And I wanted to unpack the book, but I also wanted to unpack and bring in into discussion maybe the larger topic of just finishing projects and unpacking what that looks like for a designer or a creative, and maybe how this book, at least so far, has really provided a guide for me as a person who notoriously doesn't finish things. Mm-hmm. I will start a lot of stuff and I will finish projects, but I very rarely finish very serious projects. Or like, I can, as an example, I can remember a competition I did a couple years ago where I had every intention of making it awesome, and I ended up with maybe 2 of the 10 drawings I really needed. I submitted it anyway. I submitted the narrative, but it just wasn't done. Mm-hmm. I knew it wasn't done. It's still not done, but that's the kind of level that I'm talking about, where I actually do want anything that I do, or at least most things that I do moving forward, to have an end so that I can put them on the shelf, say, look, I did that, and just move on and go to the next thing. Mm-hmm. So this book in particular is not just about finishing projects, which I thought was really interesting. It's about finishing your best work is kind of the best way to describe it. And it's about giving you the tools in some ways to not only, in sort of a start with why, sort of Simon Sinek-y vibe, define what it is that you actually want to do. So it has exercises for you to sort of go through and take a look at the things that you're already interested in and sort of break that down, mm-hmm. so that you're starting with, because the book really wants you to have a project that you're developing with it as you read. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because the book as a format isn't like a normal paperback book. It's a fairly substantial book. It's actually designed very beautifully, mm-hmm. which is another reason why I wanted to bring it up, because it's not, even the way that it's organized, and I'm going to advocate this book a lot during this podcast, as you can probably tell, it is set up in a very colorful, vibrant way, using sort of green as its through line color. It will have the normal narrative, and then it will have these like side pieces or side notes or side stories from people that have been brought in, like a Seth Godin or, insert sort of famous guru person here, that will be like almost like a sidestep at that moment or in that chapter of the book. And it's not just like another testimonial. It's like that person's point of view, mm-hmm. that helps even further refine the point that's trying to be brought across. And you go from identifying the idea to then helping the reader understand how to better better use their time, better utilize their time. So even if you're not interested in, like, I read this not knowing what my project was going to be, but I read it from front to cover knowing, okay, I want to understand what this process is like. So it breaks down the idea, then understanding how to time manage in a way that I thought was really interesting, essentially blocking certain things together, but doing it in a way that works with, you know, I always thought that I had to be a morning person to be one of these productive people, and that, you know, maybe I was just doing it wrong. But the more I read this, the more I realized maybe I'm just not naturally a morning person, and that I shouldn't keep fighting to do these, like, wake up 3 hours before I'm supposed to be at work and, like, do all this stuff in the morning. Maybe I should be doing more things in the evening. It made me start asking those kinds of questions, like, when should I be doing stuff? And so you get into those very nitty details of day-to-day things, but then it comes back around and says, you know, here are the kinds of milestones that you'll probably want to sort of achieve, and here are the kinds of things that will start to drag your project down, and how to fight them off. You know, the one analogy that I really like, or like point of imagery that the book starts talking about, is you're trying to fight dragons. You know, you're trying to fight these things that are complicated and scary, and but you have the tools yourself right now to just get through that. It's not necessarily about motivation. It's about showing up consistently. And while I'm boiling down a lot of the very maybe complex pieces here to very short snippets, I couldn't recommend this book more, because for, again, for a person like me who has trouble really finishing the things that are important, at least in the short term, I feel like this is going to help a lot of people out there. It's a very recently published book, and so it might not even be on everybody's radar, but I feel like, especially for this audience and for the creatives and designers that are listening to us usually, if this is going to be up a lot of people's alleys. So from here, I guess, since I'm almost positive you haven't read the book.
Yeah, I only saw the book when you texted me a picture of you almost finished with it.
So what I'm going to do, this is like show and tell, you know, audio form, but at least you can see it, so you have a better idea of what we're talking about.
I just lost your page.
That's fine. yeah, I use my Evolving Architect business card as my bookmark. So as you can kind of see, it's broken up into some major chapters, but it's a very graphically pretty book. It's very well organized, at least in my opinion. And it's a very easy read. The author, I didn't realize until you know, I started looking into his work a little bit more, Charlie Gilkey, he is just a very well-written author, and it seems like, you know, he even cites some of his struggles that he had with a couple health issues and how that, you know, prevented him from, you know, potentially even finishing this book, but he got through it. And it, there were a lot of parallels to how I think that, I think if anybody is, you know, listening right now and sort of relates to the way that I've, you know, dealt with things, as I've described on the podcast, this is probably going to be the right book for you.
So I wonder, Mike, what is, after getting as far as you did in the book, what is it that you're going to change about how you pursue projects, or what projects are you going to start pursuing, and what's the difference? What, how did you typically pursue a project and finish it, and how are you going to change that now after this book?
So I think one of the benefits that I had, that we've talked a lot about on the podcast, is that I actually have gone through a fairly significant burnout before. And this, while I couldn't put my finger on the ways to deal with things post-burnout, this book almost put into words what I what I've been trying to do, I guess, intuitively since then. So, like, as an example, it basically has the thesis that you can only do 5 projects at once.
Mm-hmm.
And those projects aren't necessarily what you're thinking of necessarily in terms of, like, so, like, let's say I wanted to write a book.
Mm-hmm.
That's one project. But another project could be something that's maybe more short term, like I need to buy a new car.
Mm-hmm.
Or and it doesn't have to be like and it shouldn't, all these 5 significant things in your life shouldn't mm-hmm. necessarily be just professional things. So it makes the conceit that you can only have 5 things going on that are of any significance in your life at mm-hmm. one time. One of them might be continuing an exercise regimen, you know, mm-hmm. and that could just be one of your continuous projects that you're working on all the time with yourself. So if you think about having 5 at any one time, that means that really you only are probably going to have one significant sort of project that is your best work. And it breaks it down even farther to say, if you think about your best work that can be done in a lifetime, usually someone's best work comes down to a project that maybe takes 2, 3, 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if you start to think, okay, I have this until, you know, so like right now I'm 35.
Mm-hmm.
If I go to the point where I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to have projects even into retirement, you know, because we're not talking about just professional projects, we're talking about best work and mm-hmm. like the things that you're going to do in your life. Maybe we're talking about until I'm 80 or 85. Mm-hmm. You divide that by 5 and you're left with a certain amount of projects, mm-hmm. which for me turns out to be maybe around 9 or 10
mm-hmm.
of my best work projects that I can do. When you start to think about it in those terms, and it's not, at first it might be scary for some people, but I think it was a very well-taken point in the book. You don't necessarily need to do absolutely everything, but you will have the time in certain phases of your life to do other things. So, for example, if we go along with the idea of writing a book, which is one of the kind of things that I'm looking at as possibly one of mine,
mm-hmm.
you know, am I writing that book as my next project, or am I writing it as like the 3rd or 4th down the line?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get there at some point.
Yeah.
When I thought about it like that, you know, we're starting, you know, we've talked on and off about, you know, we each have a desire to start our own practices at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So is that the next thing? Mm-hmm. Or is something else that's maybe a short-term thing that's maybe 3 months, something like that, my next project?
Mm-hmm.
When I think about them in chunks like that, it makes it easier to say, look, I really can only focus on so many things at one time. And the book has kind of given me the framework to say, okay, I'm going to do one project in the next year or so.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be my focus. And I'm going to be okay with that because I know, having just reverse engineered what I think my life is going to be like,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't know exactly what it's going to be like, but I know that I have windows of time in the future that I can do things.
Mm-hmm.
That has been a struggle I think I've dealt with a lot in the last, like, especially the last 4 or 5 years, where I always felt like I had to almost like prove myself in terms of like just starting a whole bunch of stuff because I wanted to get to the end faster, to be quote unquote a professional designer or a professional architect
mm-hmm.
faster. And the reality is that I need to do things that fulfill my overall life just on a regular basis, and it's okay if the things happen gradually. So as I look at my next project, it's been trying to identify something that I'm really passionate about, something that I like. The one exercise that they have you do is you list out all the things that you want to do. That's like the first thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you look at all the projects that you could do, and you try to identify the ones that you can't live without.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't imagine your life not doing these things.
Yeah.
the things that you have emotional guttural reactions to are most likely the ones that you really want to mm-hmm. do. You know, and for me, one of them is to write a book. And yeah. one of them for me is to have my own firm. And mm-hmm. one of them is, you know, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So it makes it very easy when you know you only have 10 or 15 slots over the your entire lifetime to really dedicate to those things. Mm-hmm. Like, that makes it so much easier to say, okay, well, these aren't really my best work projects, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, as much as I really enjoy this podcast, you know, this might be a best work project for mm-hmm. us, but me just starting another random podcast might not be the same, mm-hmm. you know, or me starting another blog might not be the same.
Yeah.
With it, if it didn't have the same intention behind it.
Right.
And I guess what I'm finding is that the book forces you, and this mentality forces you to very quickly pare down into a handful of things, the things that are most important to you in terms of what will fulfill, what you think will fulfill you. So mm-hmm. like, maybe I'll get through a project and find out that it wasn't necessarily worth it, but I went through that process because the framework of the book says, okay, you're focusing on this one thing consistently until it's done. You finish it, you can put it on the shelf, and mm-hmm. you can move on, and you can try the next thing, mm-hmm. and you can finish that to completion and try the next thing.
Right.
Because I think you'll appreciate this, because this is, honestly, this is how I see you operating. Mm-hmm. Like, you tend to say, okay, when I'm done, I'm done. I put it behind me, mm-hmm. and I just keep moving.
Yeah.
For a person like me, who's at the opposite end of the spectrum, where I'm just starting a whole bunch of things, having somebody in writing explain it in a very thoughtful way mm-hmm. sort of helps me mentally get past those hurdles. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to actually, whatever the next project is for me, actually finish my project.
Yeah. I think that's really good for you, because that's something that we've always talked about, you know? And like you said, for me, I think in some ways maybe I'm an anomaly in that sense, that like I always try and have an end point in mind whenever I start a project. You know, like with the competition I started a month ago, I knew it was a 2-month project. And that's it. When I reach that end date, right. it's submitted and it's done. I don't have any more to think about. Like, I don't go back and refine a project after it's completed. I take those ideas and I implement it in the next project, but they all relate to the overall goal of starting a practice someday. So it's fascinating that the book says all these things, because as you were describing the way that the book is influencing you and what the author is writing about, it made me reflect on what I'm doing. Yeah. And I think there was a book that I read once, and I don't remember which book it is. That's why I say I think it's from a book, where the author was saying that, it was a book about anxiety, like how to overcome anxiety or something like that. And it was a book I happened to have, because I think I got it for free. I finally took the time and I read through the book. And one of the things that the author said was, when you have too many things on your mind, you tend to waste more time. Because as you start to force yourself to remember things and you start to influence that fear part of your brain, you start to take away the percentage of operability that your brain has. Yeah. So instead of doing that, the author suggested that you write down all the things that are on your mind, and the ones that are of lower priority or medium priority to you, file it away in a drawer. And if you never took it out of the drawer after a month, throw those things away because they weren't important. And the top things that were of high priority, you do them then and there and complete them. So one of the things I've always been happy about, and maybe it's because I'm not as busy or something like that, is that my inbox is always at zero. Every day in the morning, I check it once. Every day in the afternoon, I check it once. And every night, I check it once, and I clear it out. If I have spam, I click the button that, you know, I love that Apple has the feature where you click the unsubscribe thing right on there. I just unsubscribe from spam, and I unsubscribe from, I don't know how stores and everyone keep getting our emails and using it, but I unsubscribe from all of them. And it helps me not get emails that are not important. And then in terms of projects and those kinds of things, I always weigh it against something bigger. Like, what's the bigger picture? What's the bigger vision? What is it that this is helping me do? Why am I doing it? Is it something fun? Is it something that I'm passionate about? Is it something that it's going to help me in some way? And then I take those ideas and I pursue those projects, you know? Like, and for me, rock climbing and fitness related things, all of that stuff is a project for me too. It's a personal body project, you know? And it's interesting that a sport like rock climbing, they have the terminology project is literally the route that you're trying to climb that's a little more advanced for you, but you keep trying it until you finally get it. And once you get it, you set your next project. But you keep trying it until you finally get to the end. And hopefully you'll eventually get to the end of it. It's like a little out of reach, but it's kind of within reach. And I love that about the sport, you know? So I like that the book is helping you in that way. My question for you then is, it sounds like you have a vague idea of what you want. So you know you want to start a practice, you know you want to write a book. When I came up with my ideas, it's actually from the opposite part where it was like, I know I want to write a book about this, right? Do you know what that book will be? Because you talked about burnout, and I know you're doing research for burnout and why it happens and other ideas related to it. Are you planning to compile that research in such a way where you can write more of an authoritative book on what burnout is and how to overcome it?
So the two ideas I had were, and this isn't because of any like ultimate marketing thing that I see for it or trying to get it to the most people, but I feel like the two ideas I have are to be either hyper-specific with a topic, like what you're talking about with burnout, and try to like see how that relates to things, or to be a little bit more, I want to say general, but that's not really what I mean, in terms of like the mantra and the mentality of Evolving Architect and what it means to be an Evolving Architect and bring in those pieces, like dealing with workplace burnout, dealing with, you know, just developing our lives around the creative endeavor of architecture. And there are other specific ideas. I think the thing for me that has actually been more interesting is the fact that I have kept coming back to the idea of writing a book for probably the last decade. And I feel like it's just, it's something I know I'm going to do at some point in my life. I don't know if it's going to be, you know, I'm not... In some ways, it is about the selfish kind of egotistical fantasy of seeing my book in like Barnes & Noble or Borders, or, well, not Borders anymore.
Borders is long gone, my friend.
But having a physical copy of something,
right,
that I can put on a coffee table or I can put somewhere and say, look, I did this thing. I am challenging that notion a little bit because in some ways that's the same trap I almost went down, that I thought I had to go through the collegiate system to teach, and now I'm teaching people on a regular basis online just by, you know, sharing my voice and sharing my writing and sharing everything like that, or even just talking here has been, you know, really helpful to feel like I'm helping other people. But I'm not, I think that's the one thing that I struggle with if that was the next project, is I don't know exactly, I don't have a strong enough pull yet towards the topic. I've had the kernels of ideas and I have interests in different things, but I don't have the, this is the book I need to write with my life. And that's been the only thing holding me back from that as being the next. It's an interesting question. It's something that I have actually, that's, it's funny because when I was reading this, that's the one that I gravitated the most towards in the first exercises, but I couldn't actually use that to go through the rest of the book because I didn't know what the topic was. And it was harder for me to go through. The book is very good after you get through the first chapter or so to say, okay, well, this is your specific project. Now do this step to define this next thing and do this next thing and do this next thing. So if you reach a fork in the road where you either have to read the rest of the book, the start finishing book, with the idea that this is specifically your project and you're going to develop it with as you read, or you have to kind of read it and come back, which is what I ended up doing because I really felt compelled and inspired by the book, but I didn't know exactly which project I wanted to pull the trigger on. I felt like that was also better for me because even the act of finishing the book, as silly as it sounds, was helpful because you get through the next chapter and the next chapter, and you're building this sort of logic system around finishing projects, and to actually have finished the book is like a wrapping a bow on that so that you can come back and start your own project. So if anybody is dealing with the same kinds of issues that I am and you read this book, don't feel like you have to know what you're, and it even says in the book, like, there's multiple ways to read this. Don't feel like you have to know what your project is right away. But the next project that I kind of commit to, I think, is going to be interesting. I think it's going to be something where I don't think it's going to be necessarily fitness related. It's going to be something where I'm creatively making something.
And like leather.
Like leather. And it's going to be something where I really commit to it and probably put other things on the back burner. And I think the experience of having gone through burnout helps me in this endeavor, because I'm not going all in, and sort of like when you binge watch a show, you're like just doing that thing, you're focusing on that thing and nothing else, like blinders on everything else. Having gone through burnout before, I know what it's like to juggle those other three or four things in my life, and I'm just going to essentially be committed to that one thing. So the way that I could see this, let's go down this rabbit hole for a second, and let's say the book is the next thing. The blog might take a backseat, or it might just become supplementary to the book for a while.
That's exactly what's happening with my blog now. It's become the backseat, and it's always been planned this way, that the blog would become the backseat for the firm, right? So like whatever ideas I have for starting a firm in the next couple years, 5 years or whatever, it's being supported by the endeavors now, and the blog is supporting the ideas that go into the blog and that go into the firm, and eventually the blog will transition into a firm. So
I think that overall I have, and I'm going to backpedal a little bit on what I said about the ideas. I think I have the really good kernels of ideas for the potential books. I just don't have the, and this is kind of getting back to the mantra of the start finishing altogether, is that I need to get past the idea of like, it's not like I have to just write one book. If I feel like I was successful or I liked the process of writing one book, I could write a second, or I could write a third. I mean, we talk about Seth Godin a lot lately that, you know, he's written like 20 books. But it's not like it's uncommon to do more than one thing. It's just that, especially when it's a new type of thing, because I think this project, whether it's a book or something else, is going to be a new thing for me. It feels awkward to really do that thing without almost knowing what the end result's going to be. And I think that's the thing that's scary. And honestly, in this case, because I know I'm going to commit to finishing the project, probably the thing that's scaring me the most, because it's something I know I'm going to finish. And it's something that, even though I could make the timeline something like, you know, 6 months and just be like, sort of like we were talking with your competition, you know that you're going to be done in a month. And it's just, it is what it is. We have to submit the
Writing the ebook for me, I remember telling you about it in like last year in January, and I was like, okay, I should start it. And then February came around and I started it. And by March, I published on Amazon. I was like, okay, this thing's done. Like, it's out. And it was because I kind of knew what the book would be about. And I had all of the research, the background, like all the legwork was there. I just needed to put it into words. And that really helped me in terms of writing the book. And the only reason why I asked earlier about, you know, what is the topic for that book, or what is the idea for the firm, is because as you start to pursue these things, at least for me, I found that when I was in your shoes, you know, this was a long time ago, it's hard to think like I wasn't as productive as I am now, like always doing stuff. But I was exactly in your shoes, where I was like starting things but never finishing, or starting things and the idea switched in my head and I said, well, this isn't worth doing anymore. And that, I think, was the toughest thing to let go of, to be able to say, you know what, this is my idea, I have to finish it. Like, I can't do 30 things at once, because if I do 30 things, I now have to multiply, let's say, 2 months for each thing. You're talking about 60 months, you know. But now when you can identify those topics and you can start to define what they might look like in your own mind, it makes it something more exciting. You know, like finding that topic has always helped me drive it. Having that overall grand vision for the future is good, but if you don't know what it looks like, you can't go towards it. So it's something that I've always been careful about, and it might be totally different for you. Like, you might be that bigger picture guy, and you just know, like, you know, this is what I want, I'm gonna do it. I need to know what the big picture is, but what the little steps are to do it. And then those little steps have to be very defined. Like, this book is about this, this product is about that. And with those little things in place, I chase it. And I remember one of the points you mentioned towards the end of what you were saying is the fear of finishing, or the fear of doing something, or the fear of chasing a topic that might not be a topic you actually like, and you discover that as you do it.
Right.
I used to have that too. And I used to attribute it to doubt. The fact that I'd come up with an idea and I start to brainstorm it. Then I start doubting that the idea is good, and I start to doubt myself because others have already written about it or have done it, and they've done it better than I'm about to do it, so I don't pursue it. And all these doubts used to hold me back from doing anything I wanted to do. I'd be like, I'm never going to catch up to that runner, so I'm not going to run. I'm never going to be a good writer, so I'm not going to write. I'm never going, you know, like, you start to enforce the doubts, and you start to give it more of a personality in your own mind. And it's probably not that for you, but just like for me, that's exactly what it was. And I was like, that's what held me back. All these doubts about who I am, what I'm capable of, and what I can do. And at some point, I let those things go because I focused on what is it that I like to do that is fun. And if it's fun, I'm finishing it no matter what.
Yeah.
So once those things became fun and I found a topic that I was so excited about, it made it easy to chase, right? It was like, it's like finding something that you really love to eat and you know it's affordable. You're going to go get it, right? Like, you go to get a burrito from a local place here called Lloyd's, and like, that's something you just go and do. You don't think twice, you just go. You're like, okay, I want a burrito, I'm going here. And that's how I started to change the way I thought about my projects. I think the way that you're pursuing it now is pretty exciting, because now you're like getting the kernels of the ideas, like you said, and I think it's starting to drive that flame in you to find what the topics are that you want to apply to these grand ideas.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think once you get, you're gonna take off, and then I'm gonna be like, oh my God, where's Mike? Like, he's always doing his stuff. It's really cool. I didn't realize that this book broke it down in a process oriented way, where like, this is what you do, this is how you get here, this is what you do now, and this is how you get there.
Yeah.
Like, that's really cool that someone can actually break a complex idea down into actionable steps.
Yeah, and it needs to be spoon-fed for somebody like me. Like, it needed to be that clear, and those steps need to be broken down in such a way where I could go from one thing to the next. Mm-hmm. Not because I'm incompetent as a person, but because I need that push because of my personality to get past that fear, to get past the... like, I was very inspired at a level that was just like sincerely guttural. Like, I was just like, I'm going to do whatever my next project is, I'm going to finish it, you know?
Since we're recording this in the middle of November, it's a little too late for you to do this, but every year they do a writing thing in November. Mm-hmm. Where starting from the 1st of November to the end of November, there's like a writing goal.
Yep.
And like, you have to like force yourself to reach, like, Andrea is doing it now, my girlfriend's doing it, it's 50,000 words, right?
Yeah.
You have to write 50,000 words by the end of the month. And I was like, wow, that's kind of cool. And I saw that she was being so consistent in the beginning, and now she's like, oh, it's like eating the same food every day, I don't want to do it today.
Right.
You know, and I think something like that might be something for you to try out maybe next year, because it gets you in that mindset that you're working with so many other people around the world.
Yeah.
And you come up with your own topic and like, you write about it, you know?
Well, and we've even been talking about it a little bit here too. Like, maybe that's, you know, I could just do that next month.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like...
You don't need that goal.
Right?
Yeah.
I could do, you know, one of the things I've been trying to create this past year with consistency in blogging and writing is just creating that consistency again, just overall, with at least one or two things in my life. And the one consistent thing has been exercise, and the other thing has been I know I'm going to publish a blog post every other week. And
which you've done throughout this whole year.
Oh, I've done it. I've checked that box. I've been pretty proud about
that. I almost missed my newsletter last night. I was so afraid. I was like, oh my God, this has been a great year. It's like 5 p.m. and I forgot this newsletter.
That sort of, and I think I almost need to create something like that for myself, because the checking the box is real. Mm-hmm. Like, to have that string of things in a row is a real thing to motivate. Like, it almost would have pained me to not have written one of my recent posts that I had, to be honest, I had like no interest in writing it that day, but I had to. Yeah. Like, I felt in my bones like I had to have that go out. Mm-hmm. And I feel the same way about whatever this next project is. Like, I really want it to be, it doesn't, in my mind, I've accepted the fact that it doesn't actually even have to be successful in terms of anything other than I just finished it. Mm-hmm. You know, because maybe if we go down as the example of the book, maybe it's not a successful book, but the success is in finishing the book, not in the book.
The other thing too is maybe it's not writing the whole book right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's defining the abstract idea of a topic that gets you towards a certain focused area.
Right.
And you start writing a blog post or blog posts, a series on your blog, if it's related to architecture, where you write about this topic for 10 weeks and you post every week about it.
Yeah.
Because that then takes this bigger idea. So this is going back to fear.
Yeah.
When you have this idea and you know, I'm going to do this project, now you're like, that's a big project. Like, you know, you ever look at it and say, I'm going to write a book. And then you're like, oh my God, I'm writing a book. Right. That's a lot. You know, like like that in itself holds people back. You know how many people say they want to write a book? Andre wants to write like two or three books, right? Hasn't started. And the reason for that is the fear of, hey, how long is it going to take to write this book? And it's like constant thought about it. So it's not that she's not capable. It's that the grand idea of writing the book has the impact of how long is it going to take? Yeah. What if I don't live for 50 years and it takes 50 years? You know, and when you start breaking that bigger idea down into smaller, brief things, I think that's where you start to identify the reality that it could become something that's done in the next year.
Yeah, and I think the book definitely does recommend that you have a finish line date.
Yeah.
Like that there is an end to this thing. But I think it's also important that it becomes more about the process and less about the date in some ways.
Right.
Like it becomes more of like a muscle that you're flexing and you show up. You know, when I started going back and exercising a lot and losing weight and things after I got burned out, I forced myself to go to the gym and I forced myself to eat well for a consistent period of time. And it was difficult when I started, but it's part of my life now. You know, I have a very specific kind of lunch almost every day with a salad and a protein bar.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't even think about it anymore. It's just like automatic.
Yeah. Like it, I know for me, it's still very hard. Like when I'm traveling now to wake up at 5:30 and go for a 5K.
Yeah.
Like to run at the gym. And you're like, I'm not getting out of bed. It's 5:30 and it's cold.
Right.
You know, but once you flex that muscle, like you said, or it's not even, I think flexing your muscle is one way to put it. Another is getting to a point where you know that you're working towards it and you've done this in the past.
Right.
When you can say, I've done this so many times in the past, why am I not going to do it today?
Yeah.
Then it gives you more of that motivation to just go and do it.
Because the trap that I see, and this is the reason why I don't think I've actually finished things, and we touched on it a little bit before, or finish certain things, is that you get that like dopamine rush. You get that excitement of, I'm going to do this thing.
Yeah.
And it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the best thing ever. Mm-hmm. And you get to that, the sort of the dip or like the point where there's friction and you start to back off from that.
Yeah.
And you start to say, is this really all that great? Is this, you know, is this something I really want to finish, or like we've talked about in the past, I get to the point where I've researched the thing so much that it's more research than it is an actual project.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not an actual thought from where I am. It's, I did a historical paper almost of, mm-hmm. like, here's all the context, what's the idea, and how do you like make the idea real?
Yeah.
So I feel like this overall process in this book in particular, and again, I don't think our podcast has ever been about promoting specific books, but this one, I really thought that everybody listening could be, it would help a lot of people, mm-hmm. because it's something that I struggle with as a creative and as a designer, not to mention the fact that the book is beautiful just in terms of how it's organized.
Mm-hmm.
And you could look, if you're interested in editorial design at all,
yeah,
this book is well worth the picking up.
Yeah, when I was flipping through it, it also looked like it was written in bite-sized pieces.
Yes.
I think that's something that I always look for in a book now. Something that I can read on the go and, yeah. like, just bookmark and say, okay, this is where I'm stopping for the day.
I mean, you saw as you flipped through, I was putting little post-it notes yeah. everywhere.
You put it in every page. I thought that you were just marking the pages as you went. But I guess to sum this one up, what are some things that you would highly recommend based on the book and based on just personal, like how you're feeling about this yeah. and your plan of action? What would you recommend people do if they have issues trying to finish a product or even starting one? What should someone do based on what you're learning?
I think the things that I had to really start looking at were, what are the times of the week where I'm either, I have more time or I'm more productive? And the same thing on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So, like, I know that I hit my stride somewhere in mid-afternoon, late afternoon. And while I can be, you know, fairly productive in the morning, I actually hit that groove around, you know, the 1, 2 p.m. time.
Yeah.
And knowing that about myself and actually accepting that about myself and then moving on, mm-hmm. rather than saying, I'm going to be one of these people who, like you said, wakes up at, you know, 5:30 in the morning mm-hmm. just to be there for another hour and before I go to work, get ready. You know, I might not be that person, mm-hmm. and you might not be that person either, you know, depending on who you are. So I'd say understanding more about how you as a person actually operate and just accepting that.
Mm-hmm.
And then saying, you know, whenever we set goals for ourselves, we set them saying, okay, well, I'll just do that someday, or I'll mm-hmm. just do that tomorrow, or I'll just do that whenever. Like, I have a very clear vision that I am going to start a project soon, and it's going to be one of these types of, like, best work projects mm-hmm. where I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And getting past that hurdle of, well, I might do this at some point in my life, you do have to sort of whittle down to the top, like, 3 or 4 things that are, like, the most important things.
Mm-hmm.
A process like this will help that. And then identifying all the things that will sort of pull on that project ahead of time so that when you hit that hurdle, mm-hmm. you're not surprised by it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, building in some time to say, okay, well, when my car breaks down, it's not going to completely derail my day. Or if it derails my day, I'm going to get back up and I have a blocked out time the next day to, you mm-hmm. know, keep working. Creating that space, I know, is going to be a little bit difficult for me because I know that it's going to force me to pick and choose what I'm saying no to more,
mm-hmm.
And being very deliberate about that
mm-hmm.
in a way that I have been right after I got out of the sort of burnout, but it's difficult to tell people no.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult to say, no, I just can't do that at all, or I'm, if this just doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
And then having a set deadline for whatever you're going to do for your project and moving on to the next project and accepting the fact that, you know, when you're focusing on the one thing, and you know this probably from your own experience, because mm-hmm. that's the one thing you're focusing on, it gets done faster and mm-hmm. then you can move on to the next
right.
thing.
Yeah.
Which is something that, yes, I've been told before and I guess intuitively I do understand. But again, seeing it in writing from somebody else's perspective
mm-hmm.
really resonated with me in a way where it's okay to just focus on the thing at one thing at a time, finish it and then be able to do more. You'll ultimately in your life be able to accomplish more things if you just do them either one at a time or conservatively, you know, a little bit at a time.
Yeah. I think those are some good points to end on. I think a lot of the things that you were saying is something that I've always tried to do, but I've never been able to refine it the way that it sounds like the book did.
Yeah.
You know, like taking a complex idea and really like cut it down into these little pieces that anyone could try and understand and just like run with.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good point to end this episode on. If you guys try any of these things out and find any success, feel free to let us know. So thanks for joining us today, guys.
Thanks. Hey guys, thanks for listening to another episode of Unpacking Design. And you can check us out anytime at the unpackingdesign.com website.
And you can also find us on iTunes and anywhere else that you listen to podcasts. Please remember to leave a review and share this podcast with someone you know.